Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? Once again, we are back. I'm talking about Dawn of X. I am Kyle. I'm with Danny. And we are doing it again. Back at it. Mutants doing mutant things. This time with some magic and some like Arthurian mythos in Excalibur, issue number 2. Now, we should have done this last week. We recorded Marauders before this, but actually Excalibur came out before Marauders. And so if we say mention things that you're like, we haven't read that yet, that's probably why.
Well, fortunately, they're both pretty autonomous stories, so yeah, there shouldn't be too much overlap or any confusion. They're very self-contained.
Yes. Not too much overlap, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. But last time we were talking Excalibur, we talked about Morgan Le Fay a little bit. We saw what happened to the Braddocks. We saw Brian get consumed. We saw Betsy.
Jamie got resurrected.
So Jamie got resurrected. We see Betsy become the new Captain Britain. And we see Rogue become encased in this catatonic kind of encasing.
She's starring in her own little subplot called The English Patient.
Yeah.
See, we're in England and it all plays together and she's in the exactly. coma. It's perfect. They're debating on whether pulling the plug or not. Gambit's like, I'll always love her. I can't let go. And Betsy's like, you got to move on, man. It's been 20 years.
Damn. To hold on to that for so long. But we start. You ready to start this? I was almost about to jump in. I didn't even wait to see if your well-being was ready to jump in.
I'm ready for this. This isn't Hickman, but it's still good. It's a Teeny Howard, right?
Yes, Howard and Art Sienega.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're getting a divergence from the Hickman style of writing, but he is head of X, so this has his etchings all over it.
It has his, yeah, it has his touch, his stank. Yeah,
his stank, a little bit of Hickman stank.
A little Hickman stank, but we start in English Channel, 14th century BCE, and we find these two people, just they're kind of pushing
twins.
They're kind of pushing this raft out onto sea. And the seas look kind of crazy. Not too crazy, actually. But the raft kind of fails. It fails them. And as they're kind of failing to raft properly, we see Apocalypse kind of sneak in the background, kind of just watching, gazing from a distance, if you will.
Yeah, we're led to believe that these are two mutants that were kind of drawn to Apocalypse because he kind of became like a safe haven for people of his kind, or just kind of a beacon. People were drawn to him. And he says he will let them do what they wish, but he will not save them, and he will not. I mean, this is kind of a funny part because like the way they animate it before they cut to that panel at the bottom, you think that they're like far out in the ocean, but really they're just like 15 yards away.
They're not that far. They can easily – it's not like they're in the middle of the sea. They can literally come back.
How is it that deep from right there? Like, can't they just like, you know, swim like 15 feet and walk the rest of the way?
Right. I guess the panel would look cool if they're further away. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a dick move. Like, even Apocalypse could just throw a rope out to him, but he's like, nope, he's very Darwinist, like
social Darwinism is his thing, man. He's the
survival of the fittest. Yeah.
Well, they couldn't hang. They couldn't do it, so why should I let them survive? Why do they deserve life if they cannot survive life by on their own?
You figured they died from rafting 5 feet out into the fucking 15 water.
Feet.
Like 15 feet out of the water. He's like, if they died from that, they're going to die from something. So let's just end it now.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah. 15 feet and they can't survive. They're on their own.
He's like, you're destined to die. I'm just going to leave you kids alone. You weird Irish twins.
Weird Irish twins. And Apocalypse is just like turns, his shoulders, turns his back to these people as they die, and we cut to the Atlantic Ocean, miles off the coast of Cornwall, England. Cornwall. It's just a funny word.
Yeah, it is. It's a syllable away from being something a little more inappropriate. Yeah.
But, good old Cornwall. Cornwall is what you would do to your girlfriend. Cornwall
right?
is what you would do to your mistress.
There you go. There's a level of appropriateness and I guess you could say higher echelons of society. That's higher ritzy is the Cornwall.
Exactly.
Lowbrow, that's the cornhole. That's lowbrow. We're led to believe this is the same spot where those two mutant twins ate it, and that this is like a spot that is important to Apocalypse, because he says even though they were not strong enough to survive, he does show them mercy by remembering and honoring their existence with this location. So he dedicates this weird spot to them in a kind right. of a memorial way. But yeah, we're now in deep in the English Channel.
Deep in the English Channel, Kate Pryde, my girl, she's helping sailing Excalibur group. We got a Jubilee. We got Gambit. We got Rogue still hanging out in her crackling carbonite.
And looking awfully lot like Betsy with like,
a lot she like has, Betsy, yeah.
Especially in that one scene where it's like they're closer up to her. Her hair looks like super purple, and she has the same like flower in her hair that Betsy has. So it's like kind of funny how it's like she's like morphing into Betsy.
Yeah. And Kitty mentions, like, it's been a while since the old Excalibratic lighthouse, since it was destroyed originally. That's referencing, like, the old days, the old Excalibur.
Yeah, I guess they had a story arc back then, and they actually brought the lighthouse down originally. So this is, like, kind of treading on that old mythos.
Right, and apparently she wants a hot tub in the lighthouse. I guess that's cool. Hot tubs.
Yeah, I guess. In a lighthouse, it's a little weird. I don't know where you're going to run the water, but all right.
And that's when we cut to the cast page, and we're met with the title, Destiny Awaits Thee. The new nation of Krakoa offers the promise of peace to mutant kind, but peace has been hard to come by. Formerly, villainous Apocalypse has declared his intention to harness mutant magic, but not everyone is convinced, especially since experimentation seemed to put Rogue into a mysterious floral coma. All right, it's a floral coma. Yo, you like that? You got on that floral coma? No, man, I just got that regular coma, man.
Came down with a case of the floral coma. Got it in Bangkok. Got it overnighting in Bangkok. Whoops. A little bit of floral coma.
It's just catching you up on like Otherworld and Morgan Le Fay and the Amulet of Right and the changing of the mantle of Captain Britain. And we cut to Gambit being super sad throughout this whole issue.
Most of these Excalibur issues, he's like super depressed about the whole Rogue thing. Like,
yeah, he's down. Super down. Super low energy.
But we don't get to sit too long on Gambit being emo because we're interrupted by Seal People.
Seal people. And I guess this is Excalibur is all about like British and Arthurian and Welsh and Scottish stuff. Have you heard of the seals? The
seal people, from what I know, are from Scottish folklore.
Scottish folklore, also called Selkies, apparently.
Yeah, and I guess there's like this whole thing about they lose their skin and something about their skin, and like they can become humans, and then once they find their skin again, they can go back to being seal people or something.
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with it, but I've heard some talks about it, and it's just, it's kind of nice, because it's like you said, they play on a lot of the Arthurian mythos, a lot of the folklore tied to the region. So that's kind of a cool thing, because you get this bleeding of, like, you know, the X-Men folklore with actual legitimate folklore, kind of how they already do in a lot of Marvel comics, where it's like, you know, the Thor mythology is all tied with Norse. Right. Norse mythology and shit, so this is like a nice little nod. Though funny, and probably would be right over the head of most people. Most people be like, what the fuck are those things?
Right? Yeah, I did not know anything about this until I read this and did a little research. That's interesting. But they've always done this throughout Excalibur, so this is just another note, another flair of what to expect throughout this run.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're met with the seals, and they do a little battle. Kitty Pryde's just like, yo, what's up? She's holding on to the rail. She's gripping that rail hard.
Yeah, she's trying to looks like rudder the boat or something. Like, that looks like it's,
yeah,
like,
she's trying to turn the boat.
Yeah, because they have that nice little animation where she's doing that big, like, sharp left, and they're all just kind of falling along. And they're like, we need to get to land. Like, let's get out of here. Like, they got us surrounded, and it seems like they're after Captain Britain, because she dives off, they're just like, oh, yeah, let's follow this bitch.
She jumps off, they follow. She, like, jumps onto the rocks at the, like, the cliffs or the bluffs or whatever it is, and they kind of dock, I guess. It's kind of a weird, like, abrupt, like, they cut from her being on the shore to, like, everyone being on shore.
Yeah, she jumped off and swam, but then all of a sudden they're all up on there, and it's like, well, how did they get past the seal people? Like, that's confusing. But
I feel like there could have been a panel, one or two more panels in there, kind of, like, showing this something, but anyways, we move on. They're just kind of hanging out on this,
because they're flipper legs, they can't get up the rock.
Yeah, they can't get up the rocks. They're just kind of scratching at the rocks a little bit, and they just start walking, and they start, like, they all just take a, so they're all like, take a side, everyone take a side. They grab the floral coma girl.
And yeah, they carry her like they're pallbearers at a funeral. Yeah. Grab one side and just carry her down.
Great.
And then Betsy's like, hey, do you guys see those druids over there? Like, just hanging out? And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, there's just a bunch of druids just chilling over there. Just
hanging out.
Just kicking it. Like, what's that about? And the druid's like, oh, you can see us. You're a seer. What's up?
Yes. And then
they gotta kind of, like, jump into her head and start communicating with her telepathically. It's pretty cool.
Right. And they come, they talk about how Akaba destroyed the lighthouse, right?
Yeah, and then it was kind of, like, just to rebel against Apocalypse and kind of throw their stake in the sand. And they kind of touch on about how, like, she's is the one that's being recommended as or I guess you could say she's the temporary new Captain Britain, because even she's like, he's not dead yet. Like, he'll be back. I'm just holding the mantle for now. And they're like, well, we got to decide on if you're worthy to be the new Captain Britain regardless. So they have to decide if they even acknowledge her as the new Captain Britain. That's one of the things they bring up. But then they also touch more on the Akabra people and that one woman, Mirianna Stern. They talk about
right.
Her. Like, I guess that's what the SEAL people were tied from, is that it was like her working with Morgan Le Fay sent the SEAL people after them to try to disrail their journey.
Right. And this is all happening in her head, right? Or like in
They're showing the images about her, the tower, the lighthouse burning down, and then all the stuff them talking about wanting to have her, let her be the new Captain Britain, or them deciding on it. It all is a telepathic conversation. At least that's what the thought bubbles lead me to believe.
Right. And then all of a sudden we get the druids and Braddock help to create a new lighthouse, which just pops up.
Well, they put fucking Rogue down.
To put Rogue down.
The old lighthouse.
And that lighthouse. And it just
grows into one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was just like, oh, and now the lighthouse is back, and it's Rogue.
Rogue becomes a lighthouse. Rogue's becoming a lot of things in this issue.
She was the English patient. Now she's a lighthouse. Who knows what she'll be next?
Right. And then we get from the Grimory? Is that how you pronounce that?
Grimory
of Apocalypse, which are just like some notes that he's written. And it's just like pretty like him talking in hyperbole, it seems. Just strongest among us to elevate. What's up?
Well, as you see, you get that weird, like, architectural outline of, like, what the lighthouse is, but I'm still not sure what he's trying to convey here, because at the top it says,
right.
Theoretical yield, empowerment focus set to the next of that, and then it says, not yet empowered, focus required, see footnote A, and I'm like, what is this an outline for? And then it says something in Krakoan at the bottom, but I wasn't able to translate that.
I didn't translate it. We need to start translating these.
We gotta go find that. They gave us the legend and the key for all the words, so we'll have to go back and look that up. I didn't even think about that until now. I was like, wait, I can translate that because they have it, like all the letters broken down.
Interesting. One of the weirder charts that we've seen throughout this.
Yes. Correct.
It looks like a dick.
Very foul. Very phallic, yeah. It's super phallic.
But we move back. They're just kind of hanging out.
Well, they had that little footnote that kind of went into it where it says...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it says, like, I sometimes feel a duty to ensure that those of us who are born before these times are not forgotten. So it's, like, kind of leaning back to what he was talking about with those who died and kind of how to remember them.
Right.
Something about how, like, even in death, they find themselves to be superior to those of the humans. And it's like, it says, take the two hailing from the 4th century BCE. In less than 2 millennia, the carbon has reformed into a large crystal structures containing the power of the ages within. What? What the fuck does that mean?
Right.
The power of the wages within, like, okay. And carbon crystals, okay. So if mutants die, they turn into carbon crystals? Cool.
I guess so. Interesting. But they're just, like, hanging out. We got Gambit pretty bummed out, and Betsy kind of goes to bed, and Jubilee, it cuts to later, right? And then Jubilee... Wait, is there anything of note that we should mention from this, like, one page? Because I feel like it's just been kind of, we got to bring him back. It's just like, we got to do this. We got to do
this. It's most of them just being like, I miss Brian from Betsy. Fucking Gambit's like, I miss Jubilee. I miss Rogue. And then Jubilee's like, I miss Shogun. Them all feeling detached, but there's nothing really. It's more of just like, we're in the lighthouse now. Things are weird. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Gambit's really concerned because he's just like, well, she used to just be like, you know, something we can move around, but now she's built into the lighthouse. Like, what do we do? And then we cut to later.
Jubilee just... hanging out, sleeping. Not hanging out. She's trying to sleep. We hear Jubilee's name mentioned off in the distance, and we're met with Apocalypse holding Shogo. And she's just all like, my baby. Give me my baby. And Apocalypse is like, calm down. Calm down.
He fucking Palpatines her. Like Vader. He's just like, you just take it easy. And like force, like pushes her to the ground.
Yeah.
And he talks about how like he's so small and so human. And Jubilee's like, I can't move. Give me my Shogo. And I was like sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh yeah, Shogo's human, I guess. Like, I always forget his weird backstory. I thought he's supposed to be mutant, but I don't know. Because it's her adopted kid, right? Like, it's not really her kid.
I don't think it's her kid. I don't believe. But I'm also not. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. All this stuff went down before Dawn of X. So
I was not in that game at the time.
Yeah, me neither. But it turns out all was a dream.
It was a dream sequence. All was a dream, but it freaks her out and she bails.
Patrick Duffy was never dead.
Show's alive. And well, that's happening. Betsy's like
met with a dream of her own.
She's having her own dream, and she's met with this like fire fox, this Pokemon, this awesome Pokemon.
Yeah, wielding a sword. It's like an ethereal sword of flame on its back.
Yeah.
And it's like playing with her, and it takes her to this weird statue of Apocalypse.
Yes.
And we're led to believe that there's like music playing, and there's a plate of food at the hands of the statue of Apocalypse, and it says, "He will use us, we can use him." And I guess that's implying Apocalypse can be used as well as take advantage of those who can be used. It's very interesting. I guess that's what the food is supposed to symbolize, too. It's supposed to be like hyperbole for, like, you know, the bounty that he gives is good for him as it is for us. But I feel like that's a light thing that they're kind of hinting at. They're not heavy-handed with it. And she's still, like, following the weird Firefox thing and saying, like, wait, who the fuck are you? Where am I? And the Firefox thing never really talks. It just kind of talks through its mind. Like, it kind of says cryptic metaphors. It says, you could trust your beauty. Or, Betsy, I'm a good girl. Purr. I'm like, what?
It's interesting. I got like more Jesus metaphors from this, where it's like eating the flesh of Jesus, or in this case, Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, take for my flesh and eat. Like he's offering up like the sacrificial version of himself.
Kind of.
I get it. All right.
Oh, it was interesting though. Definitely like
foreshadowing something.
Religious like undertones for sure.
Very much. Yeah.
But then we get a yank, and she wakes up, to Shogo, just nibbling, gnashing on the hair, on that purple hair, and Ghibli comes in, is just like, yo, sorry, and
almost feels like they were kind of hinting at, like, Shogo might have been doing it. Like,
right.
Something tied to the kid, but I thought the kid was supposed to be human, so who knows?
I don't know. But dreams, interesting dreams that, like, alert kind of everyone. But what happens is druids kind of come out of the forest, and they're all like, yo, they're back, yo. And they go and... Or Betsy jumps down and goes
to like, check out this superhero landing.
Yeah, she does a dope ass superhero landing. She doesn't put the knee fully down. That is key. You never want to put the knee fully down. That's how you get bad knees as a superhero.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Good landing. What's happening here? The druids are.
They acknowledge her as Captain Britain. They say, like, we've decided, we talked amongst our like the leaders and everything, and we have decided that you are the new Captain Britain, and we put our full force and support behind you moving forward. And she's like, that's cool. And he's like, and it's good that we did this because the Clan of Cobra is attacking as they turn to the right.
Right.
They're like, well, glad we got all the political discourse and pleasantries out of the way, because now it's time to throw down.
And then we get like this epic panel.
Can we note though how Betsy is pulling out her psychic sword? Like psychic she's sword. Unsheathing it like it's a real fucking
like
claymore.
It's a real sword, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's an interesting new use of it. I like it. I dig it. Very, very English. But yeah, the Coven of Kava attacks. Things go down, people fight. What's going on with Apocalypse here? Is he...
He's psychically manifesting into it.
Kind of there, right?
Yeah, him and Betsy are having a convo while this, like, epic battle is going on. The druids are wielding, like, nature magic, so they're, like, literally one of the druids say, like, don't worry, my lady, you have the entire earth of Britain behind you, and she meant that literally as the ground, like, ruptures up The Clan of Cobra members are kind of remind me of like Banshees. Like they kind of look like kind of like that kind of style of design. Not Banshee the mutant, but like the myth, the folklore Banshees, kind of look like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like floating through the air with like torn rags and like wispy kind of design.
I do.
They're flying in like Dementors out of Harry Potter, and the druids are like wrenching up all this. So it's like sorcerers versus druids. It's pretty cool. It's like a nice little magic like throwdown. But then you have Betsy with her shield, like, front and center, like, fighting against them with her sword while having a conversation with Apocalypse. Like, it's nothing.
Right.
Gambit jumps in, too. And
he jumps in eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
And we cut to Shogo and Jubilee, and she's met with Apocalypse, and he's like, what are you doing here? And Apocalypse just
cleaning up my mess.
Straight up, just one attack. No need for any more. He's just like, just a quick little attack, and he just instantly, swiftly destroys them all.
Yeah, because the whole time he's talking to Betsy, he's like saying, like, you want me to come take care of this? Like, they're my people. They're foolish enough to think that magic would allow them to usurp the mutants and their superiority. And she's like, no, just stay there. We don't want to deal with you. And then he's like, fuck it, I'm here. I'm doing this.
Yeah, I'm
just
doing this.
One fell swoop, all wiped out.
Because the Coven of Kaaba, they were agents of Apocalypse. And then he was just all like, I'm bored of this. And he abandoned them, right?
So he just forgot about them.
Yeah. So he's kind of, they left him in like this state of like no leadership. So he's just like, he doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. He's just like, I recognize it as my problem. I'll fix it. You want me to fix it? I'll fix it.
Fixed.
No? I'll fix it. I'm going to fix it. Nah, I'll fix it.
I'll fix it with the crack of boom. I like the charge up too, like when he is charging his laser, like the yeet.
That's good. I love this. I love this. And so he handles it. And she's just like, I didn't want your help. I didn't need this.
Said we had it. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Check out my dope-ass hammer.
Yeah, this hammer is pretty awesome. This is like, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? And he's just like, my hammer is cool, though, right?
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to defend this lighthouse. This house is a place for power for mutant kind, but also is a kind of like a mutant, not sanctuary, but more of like a monument. So it's like something deeper to Apocalypse. So he's like putting himself forth as like the protector of it. Though why did he need the hammer? I mean, the hammer's dope. It's like a pole arm with a hammer on the end instead of like a blade.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Interesting.
Why does he need that?
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He's
maybe
just,
he just wants to look cool.
It's just something to hold while he says something very epic.
Maybe he wants to make fun of Betsy. He's like, I could make weapons out of nothing too, bitch. Like, you make nothing. I have all your powers.
But they're essentially talking about how as time passes, like, the darkness consumes Brian more and more, and you're not going to get him back, so you got to go to Otherworld, and you got to handle this shit, yo. You got to handle it.
I'll hold down things here. You go deal with shit there.
See how I just handled? I swept my shit under the rug in one hit? You got to go do that.
Get the fuck out of here. Pop open a teleporter. Jubilee's like, we gotta drop off my kid first. And then her kid just disappears. And she's like, wait, where's my kid? They're instantly teleported through it to a giant fucking dragon. Looks like a full grown, like, Lockheed that's like blue instead of purple.
Yeah.
It's like green fire instead of normal.
Yeah. And she's just like, where's my baby? Is that you, baby?
Where's my babe?
And yeah, so Shogo's doing some weird things, and they're in like Otherworld, and they're teleported instantly, and shit's cracking off. But that is where we're left. Actually, we get a druid lullaby. Should we read the druid lullaby?
I want to know why Gambit's hoodie's up. And I didn't even know he had a hoodie built into his clothes.
Right? I've never seen that. That looks...
Hey, Sarah, I look back through his design. He had it, I guess. It just was never put up.
Never worn. Okay.
Yeah, so he just never put it up. But for some reason, now he has it on. He's like trying to look like a druid or something.
He looks like full Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, like a rogue, yeah.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it, though.
We get that druid lullaby you were saying, which is kind of weird, but like nice little tidbit to end on.
Yeah, Druid Lullaby. So, my child, when I first met you, I noted your form, fingers and toes all accounted for, skin soft and whole, eyes bright, cry strong. And I watched your mind quicken into a curious thing, a thing that wandered for the uncertain, more than it craved the safety of firelight. Firelight? Firelight.
Yes.
But when you wander past the light, which you will, when you will, into those beckoning circles of flora, which you will, it calls to us all. When you choose the thrill of the hidden above the safety of my arms, you are your own until you breach the circle, until you breach the places where the worlds grow thin and your skin slips from you, like your birth call?
Your birthing canal?
Or birthing call? Canal call. Call.
Oh, yeah, like, call.
From there, I cannot promise that if I call your name, you will answer in the land beyond this one when you become your own. I don't know what call means. What does call mean? Do you know what call means?
I guess they're phrasing it like in like just a different spelling of the word, like just call, like your call to duty. Your call to answer, I guess, maybe? I don't know. I mean...
Oh, it's cowl.
Cowl, oh.
But it's spelled weird, apparently. Yeah. I guess cowl could be spelled with a U as well.
All right. So it's, yeah.
Okay. Birthing cowl.
Oh, it's... Okay, because it's like it's a head... It's like for like a... It's like an indoor headdress.
Yes, yeah.
For like a woman. Like that's a birthing headdress.
Sure.
Or no, wait, the membrane that encloses the fetus. That's what they're talking about. It's because it's talking about birthing.
Okay. So
it's the fetus. Wow, Jesus.
God damn.
Wow.
Okay.
You arise from the foam of the placenta as it burrs through your canal. It's like, whoa. You guys are getting depictive here. But, I mean, this works because they're talking about a lot of stuff here that kind of works off of, like, Jubilee's kid, those original mutants, the new changing of times that's coming to the Britain and Captain Britain and herself now. And I guess I could understand what they're going with here. It's supposed to kind of highlight the aspects of new birth and the tribulations that come with it.
Sure. But this is interesting. This is weird. Bizarre. We're going.
Since it's a 4th century druidic lullaby, is it a real 4th century druidic lullaby, or did Hickman just add it?
This is all like Hickman's little flair. Hickman came in. He's like, I got something for you. It's like, I don't need this. He's like, put it in.
Put it in my infograph.
My graphs.
Oh, but it's possible that this is a legitimate like 4th century like druidic lullaby. It could be legit, but it's entirely possible that it's just for the canon of the story.
Will we research it? Maybe.
We'll probably not. there's a lot of issues to read.
There's so many issues to read, so much.
If it comes back up, then yeah, fuck it.
Yes. We shall see. But that concludes
Excalibur
for this issue. What did you think of this issue?
It's good. I like Excalibur's been good. All of them very well. Like, I like that Apocalypse gets a lot of screen time in Excalibur. And usually when he does it, he's dope as fuck. Just like wrecking people like he normally does or dropping some profound knowledge. I like the story and the mythos that they're building with the druids and the druidic folklore, the English folklore, a lot of that stuff. That's really cool because it feels like you're kind of touching in the waters of a lot of other novels before X-Men, before, you know, any of these writers were writing stuff. Like, we're going into more classic literature. So that's a cool vibe, and I really enjoyed that. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see what the relevance of Jubilee's kid is and what is going on with Rogue.
What's going on with Rogue? She's a lighthouse now. Yeah. I'm excited for
final. She always gonna be lighthouse.
Yeah, no, she's gonna, there's so many forms she's gonna take. I hope she keeps changing, honestly. I hope she becomes something else. She becomes like a car or something, or like an airplane or a vehicle.
Maybe she'll become Carol Danvers again. Like, she'll absorb Carol's powers and become, take Captain Marvel's powers.
She doesn't have those anymore, right?
I think they got rid of that, and then she went on to having Power Man's powers, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Simon, whatever, and she took his abilities, and then actually she just went back to being Rogue. So right now she's just Rogue, but Rogue Lighthouse.
Fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Any moments that stand out to you the most that you enjoyed?
Apocalypse just wrecking those people in like one blast, just like
vaporizing them.
That was easily the standout part for me.
That was fun. Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite moments as well. I dug like that Firefox thing. That was pretty cool. I don't know the point of it, but I like the design.
Yeah, like, I don't know where they're going with that, but it seems interesting. Maybe that was a bit of a red herring, but it almost seems like the way they transitioned it was supposed to seem like Shogo was a part of it. But I don't know. That might have just been like a coincidence. Could be.
He was touching her forehead. Maybe he has some bizarre psychic powers.
Yeah.
I mean, things are going down. We ended on a giant dragon thing.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? Only time will tell. Any other thoughts on Excalibur? Any other things that you want to mention?
No, that was it. I'm just excited to see the next one. The Excalibur and X-Force have been the ones that I'm most like, every time they finish, I'm like, oh, get to the next one. Get to the next one. These are good.
Mm-hmm.
The Excalibur is like, what? Which is crazy to me. Because if you would have told me like 10 years ago that Excalibur would be almost as good, if not just as good as X-Force, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Is X-Force just that bad now? Like, what do you say? I've never read an Excalibur issue that I was excited about.
It's great. That's why
I never followed it. Because every time I try, it's like, this is weird.
I wasn't a big fan back in the day. I read some here and there, and I was just like,
they're weird.
It's weird. It's off kilter.
Juggernaut's like a good guy and all these other weird characters. And Rachel Gray's there, but she goes by Phoenix number two, Phoenix two. And I'm just like, what is with your naming?
Yeah. But this is great. I am digging it. I'm loving everything that we have been seeing. I'm digging like the little tidbits of
British
folklore and mythology and Scottish folklore and mythology and all the folklore and mythology of the UK and Arthurian stuff, which is cool, which I dug. I'm digging. I thought I wouldn't dig. I really did. I thought I wasn't going to dig this, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, you think that you're having like kind of a bit of a peanut butter and chocolate situation where you're like, how would X-Men and Arthurian folklore like really work together? And then you see it here and you're like, oh, all right, I guess it worked.
It works.
It's really weird. It right? actually works. You're kind of meshing. This is bizarre.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? But hey, I will take it and I will take what is to come. But next episode, we will be talking. What are we talking about next episode? We are doing
New
Mutants returning back. What's going to happen to all of the kids out there in Shi'ar space? Some of them are surrounded by some forces. One of them's drunk and abandoned on a planet while the Star Jammers just take off and go fuck. You guys!
Yeah, I left him for dead.
We're out. So we shall see what happens next. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure you know if you read it already.
Oh, yeah. That Dead Mutants issue is a good one. That is a good. They have some really crazy reveals about a certain child of someone that we did not know about. I'm excited about that. Yeah. So get ready for that.
Yeah. This is going to be exciting. But that'll do it for Podcast of X. This week, I am Kyle. I'm with Danny. Remember, the mutants are going to murder you, and you are going to like it.
Instead of the robots this time, it's the mutants?
Did I say mutants? No, yeah, the robots. Yeah, no, no, no.
I was like, now the mutants are gonna murder you. It's like, yeah. I get that the robots would, but why are the mutants gonna protect us against the robots? What happened?
The mutants should protect us. The robots are going to murder you.
Yeah, this is age of apocalypse. The mutants are going to murder you. You will be subjugated and murdered. Enjoy.
Yes, but that'll do it this week. Peace.